Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Give small business in the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you hung out with me because I got Dr. Robert Gross with us, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Gross he's got degrees in every science you can imagine, electrical engineering, mathematics, chemistry, physiology, and a medical degree. And he's the author of a new book called The Extinction Gene, and it's a novel, basically, but it's a novel based in what he thinks is fact, and we're going to talk about that. Dr. Gross, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Can I call you Robert?
Please do.
Thank you for being here. It's good to have you here. Robert, I want to know about your medical degree and your practice.
I practice family practice and preventive medicine for about 25 years now, trained at three times at Texas Tech, one time at Tulane University. Mm-hmm. And best food was at Tulane, prettiest girls at Tech.
I see. And so in your technical education and your medical career, you've observed an awful lot about humanity and the physiology and the genetics and all that about human beings and the environment around us. And that basically gave rise to your book, didn't it?
Well, it did. It seems to me terribly arrogant when we look at our world changing, the ecology changing, species around us changing, bugs mutating, and we sit here as human beings thinking we are above the fray.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, besides arrogant, I can't feel comfortable with that logic. This is a changing universe, and we have to be the same part of that change. And as part of that, the premise of the book I wrote was that extinction events throughout the history of the world have been caused by global climate change that triggers a DNA sequence in species every few million years, and that destroys their resistance to disease, causing their destruction by pandemics.
Right.
And when I wrote this, I started the first draft of this 2 or 3 years ago, and I tend to turn things inside out and try to look at them differently, but about a month ago, I bought the June issue of Scientific American, and that one of the cover editorials was Silent Mutations, Seeming Trivial DNA Changes Affecting How Diseases Can Hurt Us Differently Now.
Mm-hmm.
And so
for example, the swine flu, which historically we think of flu as affecting the elderly and the sick, is now affecting younger people, isn't it?
Well, it is. What kind of made the swine flu different is that notoriously human beings have the flu virus. By the way, the swine flu or any of the true flus we're concerned about
mm-hmm.
are type A influenzas, because they can be found in animals and humans, pigs, birds,
and
horses.
Transmitted?
Do what, sir?
And transmitted from one to the other?
And transmitted, yeah. What makes us H1N1 was initially H5N1
is
that we thought that the human
avian
flu got to the pig, the avian flu got to the pig, then mm-hmm. the pig shook it up and gave it to everyone else.
Uh-huh.
This last round, the H1N1, it's found that the avian flu can be given to humans, and the humans shake it around and merge it with different mutations and get a different change, and then that can be transmitted to other humans. So that's what scared
us. And you're saying, and you think that this is a mutation kind of thing, a genetic thing, not just some microbial evolution.
Well, the mutating part is that the avian flu can be now mixed in the human beings.
Yes.
And I've not seen an explanation for that.
I see.
And why all of a sudden are we able to mix master this stuff into this blend of new potentially lethal viruses? Fortunately, at least so far, you know, they've had pathogenicity, meaning they do have a small disease process. They are very infectious, but they're not very virulent. They don't get people don't get real sick with it.
So you believe that human beings, obviously, we're very close to the other species out there that are being affected by whatever evolution of our planet. And I'm not talking, folks, I'm not talking theologically. I'm just saying, you know, the evolution is alive and well. It's just, this is not an origination discussion. But the evolution of our planet, we're very close to all that. Human beings are. We are not above the fray. I agree with you on that. But when we come back, I want to ask you to explain to me why things are different now. I mean, isn't it also a little bit arrogant to think that what we're doing at this moment is making abrupt changes? I mean, isn't evolution a million-year kind of thing? We're going to talk about that with Dr. Robert Gross after these messages. 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
To see you back again. How long has it been? The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I need
fun. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having more fun than the law allows. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to check out my blog right off the homepage. My newsletter is right off the homepage. You can subscribe to that. My knowledge base, AskJim.biz, is right there off the homepage. You can ask questions, get answers immediately, instantaneously. You can listen to archives of past interviews I've done with my audience, my brain trust, I should say. Read articles that we've written, and lots and lots of stuff there. You got 5 seconds, 1 minute, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes. We got something for you there. Everything under the small business sun. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Dr. Robert Gross is our guest. He's the author of The Extinction Gene. And basically, I don't want to give the book away because it's a novel. You've written it as a novel, and you've done a great job, Robert, on the book. I'm very impressed. And basically, if I understand correctly, if my review of the book serves me, this guy, this Nobel-winning, award-winning scientist, has discovered what he thinks is an extinction gene, improved it. And I won't tell you what happens to him, but it sets in motion a very interesting chain of events that leads to global intrigue and lots and lots of exciting stuff. But basically, it's around your novel is based around something that the title of the book is The Extinction Gene. Do you believe that there's an extinction gene?
I believe that we are not nearly as omniscient or as omnipotent as we think we are. Therefore, I think there's a lot about the world, a lot about us we don't know. This is presented in a novel format, a fiction novel. And again, it was presented, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago in the initial drafts of the book. But in the June issue of Scientific American, just a few weeks ago, I was picking up, I was traveling to the airport, and one of the cover stories is Silent Mutation, Seemingly Trivial DNA Changes Hurt Our Health.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not advocating that we have a gene that can be triggered any more than Tom Clancy advocated that an airliner could be taken. But I think what good fiction does is take something that could potentially happen, make you think a little more, put it in an intriguing story,
right,
and create a world that one hadn't thought of before.
Well, I like the way you think about that. But one of the things that concerns me, you talked about arrogance a minute ago, that human beings become arrogant, and I think you're right. We forget we tower above, as you mentioned bugs a minute ago. We tower above bugs. But we're still right next to them. You know, we're standing on the same soil, drinking the same water, eating basically the same flora and fauna that they do, and so, you know, we're gonna be affected like they were, just as they are. But there's another and you also talk about climate change in your book.
Correct.
And you talk about and you mentioned it today. Isn't there another arrogance though out there people who believe that the things that human beings have done in a 40-year period could actually dramatically change the global climate change, something that's really been happening for thousands of years. Isn't that arrogant as well?
It is. All of this is arrogant. There have been four or five major extinction events throughout history, and there are half a dozen different theories, half of which rotate around global climate change. We were around for none of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, of course, because many believe that there was a deep impact by a meteor that caused the end of the dinosaurs, 65 million years ago?
Correct. The Chicxulub, I believe, if I'm pronouncing that right,
mm-hmm.
meteor. But recent studies have shown that really doesn't even time out right. There several other theories are that elevating water levels, lowering water levels, tectonic plates shifting.
Right, right.
And then there's just one that says extinction cycles, which means everything on Earth has God's time and
right.
it moves on. So I really kind of combined a couple of those and to see if I could come up with a new thought process as a new story.
What do you think is the scariest, as you look out across humanity and this globe, and as a man of science, what is the scariest reality that you see?
The scariest reality I see is the total political standing of true science.
Yeah.
It used to be that you felt like a theory was a theory, a formula was a formula, and that politics butted around it, tried to use it, but I'm afraid that science is being run by international politics now.
Yeah, and turned into a theology.
And turned into a theology or turned into... there's no absolute, and science should be to some degree absolute, or at least define that it's not.
Well, what you're saying is, every, and you know this as a man of science, every science has its proponents and opponents.
Correct.
Right? I mean, that's where the healthy the debate starts, right? But what's happening is a political group, one way or the other, will find the science that they like and try to influence the world with their politics.
And that scares me.
I 100% agree with you. You have hit it right on the head. And whatever that gene is that causes people to want to do that, Dr. Gross, is the gene that I think is the extinction gene. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. See, folks, see what I've done here on my show? I have single-handedly discovered the real extinction gene. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, hey! I belong.
Mr. Sam Cooke, ladies and gentlemen, the late, great Sam Cooke. Classic stuff. Just like me, classic. Dr. Robert Gross is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of the outstanding new book, The Extinction Gene. Robert, this is a movie waiting to happen. I'm serious. Have you been? Has anybody in Hollywood contacted you?
No.
Oh, well, you need to get an agent to do this.
Well, thank you.
This is a movie waiting to happen, and I expect to get my commission for this idea that I'm giving you, too, by the way.
You will do so. Listen, everyone who reads it says this has got to be a movie.
It's got to be. Oh, so darn. I thought I was the first one to say
it. Well, yeah, you will get top credit.
Okay. Well, and as you heard, I have single-handedly, with a little assist from you, I have to say, I've lurched uncontrollably to what the real extinction gene is. It's the gene that makes us want power, regardless of science, regardless of leadership, regardless of how it serves the greater good, that whatever gene makes human beings be so arrogant and want power, that's the extinction gene, Dr. Gross.
I think you're probably right. And again, through the book, a great deal of the book is how much we think we know, how much we really don't know, how we are in some degree very fortunate specks floating on this very beautiful world.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we need to enjoy that and not quite take ourselves so seriously.
That's a very interesting thing that I like the way you said that, because That's something I recommend that we all do, and I recommend quite often, Robert, that we learn to laugh at ourselves, and that if you don't laugh at yourself, you miss the best laughs of your life.
Well, the old saw that says mankind plans and God laughs.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you need to share that laugh sometimes.
What is it? Is that the extinction gene in humans, our arrogance?
You know, I think functionally it very well could be, where we feel so self-absorbed, so important, and I'm not so sure the more we know, and I tend at night to think through things, and, you know, the Bible talks about the innocent, and I'm not so sure that the less we know, the nearer to God we are.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I'm not so sure we don't clutter ourselves. I love pure science, not obfuscated with politicization and money, but just the facts. And if there's one thing I truly believe, I don't mean to get terribly ethereal, but this gift of an organized universe out of chaos,
mm-hmm.
is a wonderful gift. And the fact that we look for chaos, we want chaos. Chaos was out there forever. It will be out there some other time.
Right.
But right now we have this wonderful gift of an orderly world that follows orderly laws.
And the more you study science, the more you study how organisms work, and how there are all these little checks and balances, the order is fascinating and amazing, isn't it?
It's overwhelming.
Yeah. Especially the human body.
Yes.
And human reproduction and all that, it's just amazing, and the things that humans have done. So what you're saying is, you know, my dad when I was a kid used to tell me I was getting too big for my britches.
That's true. We are.
So you think humans are getting a little too big for our britches? Is that what you're saying?
I think so, and we may be getting a spanking. I don't.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, we might be. And you and you're talking about, and you're not talking. He's not talking about. The fact that you know, we've got climate change and human beings are causing that, you're also talking about our reaction to all that, aren't you?
Correct.
Yeah.
And whether or not, and that's an issue in the book, whether or not our reaction is appropriate, whether what we're looking for is appropriate, whether it's even there. So that's a running theme in the book. Is this happening because of this? Is it not?
Mm-hmm. Are we observing the things that are happening and experiencing them, or are we causing them? How much are we causing?
Correct.
And how much are we part of the solution, or maybe indifferent, or maybe not involved in the solution at all? And how much are we part of the problem?
Correct.
And so, folks, that's the beauty of this book, The Extinction Gene. You know, I guess the extinction gene could be in the eye of the beholder, almost, couldn't it? Dr. Gross?
Yes, it is.
So the book, The Extinction Gene, where is it available, please?
It's available at BarnesandNoble.com, most Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon.com, and ebooks.
And how about, you have your own website?
Yes, ExtinctionGene.com.
Is it just ExtinctionGene.com?
ExtinctionGene.com.
All right, so check it out, folks. This is fascinating stuff. And don't forget, don't wait on the movie, folks. You know, that takes a couple of 3 years to come out. So you can read the book, then watch the movie. Thanks, Dr. Gross. Good
Thank
job. Come back another day. We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.